Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. Julio Jones is a Tennessee Titan after all. Keep Atlanta weird. Is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. a reporter striving to be an NFL beat reporter just to overhype players in practice months before the season. And with me, as always, is AJ. If pitchers doctor baseballs, do quarterbacks doctor footballs? Marchese.
Yeah, we're not talking about Deflategate again. That was the worst year of my life. 2 years? How long did that go on for?
And it's happening again with Garrett Cole for you.
I know. I love it this time. Support pitchers.
Today, we're going to go through every team in the league's potential breakout player for the 2021 NFL season. Let's hit it.
Going out to Vegas, gonna set my draft. Gonna set my draft on fire.
Seven
rounds in heaven with my lady. Driving out to Vegas, baby. Looking for a Stingley. Or Thibodeau, who's gonna bat it on draft day? Who's gonna wager future picks away? Who's gonna reach for a blue blood lineman? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
Have you ever wanted to sit down before or even after the game and get in on the sports talk action? AJ, you?
Sit down? No way. I'm standing up and getting my takes out.
Well, I've got just the app for you. It's a live audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and to use. You can talk to your favorite podcast hosts, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's called Locker Room, and it's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. You can share your own experiences on the app, and who wouldn't want to do that? Like AJ does every time my Islanders win a game, and AJ gets all disgruntled because AJ's Leafs suck, and my Islanders are the best.
Furious.
It's pretty great being an Islanders fan. We're playing the Bruins right now. It's game six. We're going to win. And then you can listen to AJ cry on Locker Room about it afterwards. And to do that, all you have to do is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the group. Follow folks like AJ who are breaking down all these crazy NHL playoff games or anyone else you fancy. And they'll go live. And when they go live, you'll be notified on the Locker Room app. Speaking of going live, my Islanders just scored a goal.
I had to hold my tongue. But
that wasn't the transition I was looking for. Speaking of going dead, the Atlanta Falcons and their confusing plans. They obviously, these last couple days, they shipped Julio Jones to the Tennessee Titans. With a six-round pick, a 2023 six-round pick, for just a 2022 second and a 2023 fourth. Seems kind of strange considering they passed on a potential franchise quarterback with the fourth overall pick. That made you think they're in win-now mode, which made you think they would want to keep Julio, pair him with Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley, get Matt Ryan cooking. Instead, they trade Julio for, I don't know, half of his worth, maybe
a Marvin Jones package.
Best.
I mean, a Mohamed Sanu package.
So I'm not totally sure what Terry Fontenot is doing, the new Falcons GM. It just the point has been made a million times now that it's just strange how NFL teams value things. Like you look at the I think the Jets were used as an example. Essentially, the Jets used two first round picks to acquire a guard, 14th overall, but no one was willing to give up a first round pick for Julio Jones, and the Falcons just took whatever they could get.
It's also funny when teams seem to care about the cap and when they don't. Like I do think yes. the cap hit played into Julio, at least for like the, in terms of how great his offers would have been. But then sometimes you just see teams absolutely not care about the cap. Apparently this was the best offer they had on the table. And they took it. I mean, it's also kind of funny that, you know, Arthur Smith moves to Atlanta and then trades him back to Tennessee. But I think, I think people are forgetting that he asked for this trade though. Right. So I mean, you can go back and listen. We were both saying, why the fuck would you trade Julio Jones? But when he wants out, there's not much you can do, but they knew he wanted out before the draft.
That's what I mean. That's why it's just when you factor that in, if it was a out of the blue thing, he's done in Atlanta, disgruntled, wants out, and you just find out.
Yeah.
It's more understandable. But when you factor in that they've known and they still opted, hey, we love Kyle Pitts on this show. I think both of our number two prospects in the draft. But you don't pass on a potential franchise quarterback for a tight end. Especially if you're operating as if you're not necessarily trying to win now. It all seems so very strange.
It's a little bit.
A lot of Kyle Pitts talk through the NFL season on this show, though, because he's going to get the targets for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the pressure, I don't want to say pressure, but the impact, like he's got to perform immediately now. You know what I mean? Like there's so much hype around Kyle Pitts. I don't know if I can remember a pass catcher as hyped or as like expected to do great things immediately as Kyle Pitts is. You know what I mean? Like people are already talking like he's going to have 1,000 yards guaranteed. And, you know, people were talking like as he was getting drafted that he's a lock for a Hall of Famer. And like I'm not saying those are – well, they're kind of crazy. But I'm not saying when you watch them they're ridiculous things to say. But – it's just the heat's going to get turned up on Kyle Pitts. And we've seen tight ends take every tight end takes a while to get acclimated in the NFL. So, like, I don't want to see a bunch of stupid takes if he's got, you know, 400 yards by week 8 and 2 touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doubting his greatness, but I'm just saying I don't want to see dumb takes.
I think it's a good take, though, to say that removing quarterbacks from this question, who has the most pressure on them among rookies? It's him.
Yeah.
Not only because he's the first non-quarterback drafted and in the highest drafted tight end in NFL history.
Yeah.
But now it's more almost, I don't want to say he has to fill the shoes of Julio Jones, but he's taking on at least some of that Julio Jones pressure now that Julio is off in Tennessee rocking that number two. Alternatively, for the Titans, especially given their rocky drafting under John Robinson, pretty great move.
Yeah, no, this is a slam dunk home run for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, obviously receiver was a huge need for them too.
Yeah, and they took Des Fitzpatrick in the fourth round, bit of a reach. And they signed Josh Reynolds in free agency. But they lost Corey Davis, they lost Jonnu Smith. It was essentially A.J. Brown was the only trusted, at least, obviously A.J. Brown's a Pro Bowler, but like you could argue prior to this trade that they didn't even have a confirmed average pass catcher behind A.J. Brown. And now you've got two Pro Bowl talents. Des Fitzpatrick, Josh Reynolds is your 3 and 4. You still have no tight end, but Julio takes some pressure off that, I guess. It seems like a very worthwhile move for a team like Tennessee that should win the AFC South, is expected, given the rest of the division, expected to win the AFC South. And again, John Robinson doesn't have the greatest track record with drafts, so maybe they should go that Rams route and sell picks for Pro Bowl, confirmed Pro Bowl players.
Yeah, hey, go get Stephon Gilmore too if he's actually on the block.
Heck yeah. I will add though, you mentioned Arthur Smith. Obviously, he doesn't trade Julio.
No,
it's Terry Fontenot. But Arthur Smith leaving Tennessee for Atlanta, and then this happens. Well, Mike Vrabel's from the Belichick, essentially in theory, from the mm-hmm. he didn't coach for Belichick, but he's a Belichick disciple. Is he learning from Belichick to send his sleeper cells around the league? That's the question people need to be asking.
It's all in the AFC. Like, all of Belichick's are... Were all of Belichick's spinoffs in the AFC too? Like, pretty much, right?
Off the top of my head, I have no idea. But
it seems like it, though, right?
I'll
like,
I sure.
Yeah, no, I know. That just popped in my head, but it seems like it. Anyways, so he kicked it to the NFC this time. But, no, it's a good question. It's a good question. People are talking.
But the better question is, AJ, who's a breakout player on every NFL team?
that's what
the people want. In early June, that's what the people are asking. They want to know who exactly is going to break out on their team, with the stipulation that they're at least in their third year or later.
Mm-hmm.
Because, breaking out as a rookie, that you never broke in because you're just already in.
Exactly.
And now you've broken out, you can't, right? And that makes sense.
Yep.
Second year, you're kind of expected to break out.
Exactly.
I would say if you're a high draft pick. Third year is when it starts. Third year is kind of that up in the air year. If a guy doesn't break out in their third year, are they ever going to break out? So that's why third year is the cutoff. But you could go later if you want. If you have a 12th-year breakout guy, that's on you. We'll just go through AFC East, NFC East, how we always do everything. And we'll tell – I don't know AJ's. AJ doesn't know mine. And it'll be a lot of fun, won't it, AJ? Aren't you excited?
Yeah, I'm super excited, Rob.
Good to hear. Shall I start because the AFC is better than the NFC?
No, you can start because the AFC is an A and the NFC is an N, and we go by alphabetical order.
Yeah, you've always been the alphabetical one. The numbers in the alphabet, your two strengths. Okay, the AFC East.
Yeah.
Starting with the Buffalo Bills. And now, let me add this. The vast majority of my guys are 2019 NFL draft picks. I feel like that's somewhat common, just because, again, third year is generally the breakout year. We also kind of, now I'll put an asterisk beside this, avoided anyone who has made a Pro Bowl, because if you make a Pro Bowl, that means you broke out, just like Mitch Trubisky did when he made his Pro Bowl.
Yeah, sorry. Jared Goff, two Pro Bowls. He's not my Lions pick.
But he would have been.
He would have been, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so later I will defend why I have two different Pro Bowl guys.
Oh, my God.
But for now, I don't have any. And we'll start with the AFC East. We'll start with the Buffalo Bills. And my pick's Ed Oliver. 9th overall pick, 2019 draft. Entering his third year. Still just 23. We've seen the flashes. That 2019 NFL draft was loaded at defensive tackle. We all loved Ed Oliver. Now, we didn't think he was going to be the Aaron Donald. But we thought... this might be that disruptive, undersized, electric playmaker on the interior. And it hasn't totally happened yet. 8 sacks in 2 years. Again, some flashes. That Bills defense was pretty brutal last year. He didn't take that leap you kind of expected. I think it's coming this year. That's my bet. What do you think?
If we included second-year guys last year, he would have been... on our list. I think he was on our list. Yeah, I mean, I think we both still fully believe in Ed Oliver. Like, realistically, 8 sacks over 2 years for an interior guy is not bad at all. But with expectations of Ed Oliver, it's a little disappointing. I think it's coming, too. I'm not giving up at all.
I'm ready to see him be more of a disruptive gap shooting.
Yeah, yeah. We saw, like, glimpses. Last year, even more.
He's had some games. He's had some games.
Yeah.
It hasn't helped that Bills D-line has been pretty inconsistent around him as well. They've obviously now invested in that, taking 2 edge rushers in the first 2 rounds. I'm hoping this is the year we see at least more splash plays from him. Because I think at the very least, that was kind of the general thought with him, would be he would be making splashy big plays, whether he becomes a consistent player or not.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think it's going to take. I think it's going to take, and he's going to be is he making the Pro Bowl this year, Rob? That's the big question.
Well, I've got like three more defensive tackles in this division alone, so I don't know.
I don't think I have a single defensive tackle, so there you go.
You don't?
No.
It's because they're all drafted in the 2019 draft to the AFC.
There you go. Yeah, I don't think I do off the top of my head. I mean, you know me. I'm usually pretty offense-heavy, but I don't think any defense tackles, no.
Jumping to the Miami Dolphins, speaking of defensive tackles, I put Christian Wilkins here.
Mm.
Another guy, 2019 NFL draft, 13th pick.
Couple picks later.
Was kind of brought in to help set that culture up in Miami. A little older than Ed Oliver, already going to be 25 at the start of the year. I would say I'm less confident it actually happens for.
Yeah.
I think he is more likely to become a solid player, a solid contribute, like starter. I think the flashes have been less with him. Miami doesn't have a lot of, because they've drafted so many guys in the last 2 years, they don't have a lot of third year or later guys I could really pinpoint. Mm-hmm. And Wilkins felt like the kind of the obvious one.
Yeah, no, I mean, and the way you just laid out his expectations, it was kind of that way between Oliver and Christian Wilkins before the draft. I don't think either of us thought he should be a top 15 guy, but like weren't surprised he was because of the leadership qualities and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I still like Christian Wilkins. I don't think he's going to be a big old breakout Pro Bowl guy ever, but I think it's fair to call him a breakout in terms of like just kind of like finally cementing himself on that Dolphins front, you know?
Yeah, like solid starter is what I think you're looking at with him. Just to put Ed Oliver's numbers in perspective, Ed Oliver, 8 sacks, 14 quarterback hits. Wilkins, 3.5 sacks, 7 quarterback hits, 2 seasons apiece. Screw it. I'll go out of alphabetical order just to add that with my Jets pick is Quinnen Williams, who I think you can make the argument he already has broken out, but I mean, you got people like Bucky Brooks saying he's not good, so I think this is your, like, Quinnen Williams this year, by the end of the year, no one's going to be having any doubt that he is a stud, especially now that Robert Saleh's in town, I think.
Yeah.
Adding that into the equation, too. I mean, I think you could argue Quinnen Williams was deserving of a Pro Bowl last season.
Yeah.
Third overall pick, 2019. Same draft as those other two. 9.5 sacks, 20 quarterback hits, 26 games. Less games than both, more production than both as a pass rusher. You add Sal into that equation. I think Quinnen Williams has become one of the best defensive tackles in the league pretty quickly over the next 2 years. And he is, if you watch him, he has lived up to expectations being that third overall pick. Like, he is a freak with his with his ability to create pressure and shoot gaps and make plays in the backfield. And anchor down, too. Like, I think it's between those three, he is clearly the best pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's clearly the best run defender.
You don't see an interior defensive lineman have that impressive of a year on such a bad defense very often.
Yeah, like just by the numbers last year, 55 tackles, 7 sacks, 10 TFLs, 14 quarterback hits, like just sheer numbers on paper, that's a Pro Bowl defensive tackle.
Yeah, not
and
for sure.
And you watch the tape, he's better. He's even better than that. I think to me, to a lot of maybe more plugged in folk, you would just call him a breakout player already. But I think he actually gets to earn that. Like, he'll be named to the Pro Bowl this year. He'll become a household name this year.
No, yeah, like man. I think it's fair to call him a breakout because he's still ascending too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And then finally, in the New England area, they're another tough team to hammer down someone. I picked Damien Harris. I think he's the most talented and consistent running back on that roster.
Yeah.
Obviously, just 12 games in 2 years, basically didn't play as a rookie. Just over 700 yards rushing, 87th pick, 2019 NFL draft. You saw he was the most consistent runner last year. The contact balance and the vision really stood out. I think you want to see him impact the passing game more frequently, just 7 targets in his career. But now that they're potentially building this offense around Mac Jones and slash Cam Newton's going to be healthy, I think you're going to get to see a lot more of Damien Harris. I also think the Sony Michel experience is pretty much dead.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lot more of Damien Harris is that true run down back. James White is your pass catcher, and Ramondre Stevenson is your short yardage guy.
I totally think so too. I think it's Harris's backfield to lead this year.
Yeah, like if you watch New England games last year, he was easily their most consistent rusher in just 10 games. And as long as he's healthy, I think it's pretty clearly he's the most consistent back too. Like he had 3 100 yard games last year, and like Sony Michel is nothing. No offense. that seemed mean.
Yeah, Sony Michel, big bust. Big bust.
I said that, and then the Bruins scored.
Yeah.
Is Belichick listening to me?
Boston's always gonna have something, man. They can't have nothing. You know that.
Apparently. I hate Marshawn. Okay. Anyway.
Marshawn is like, you know what's awesome about Marshawn is that like his face suits him so well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's such, like, you just want to punch him.
Okay, back on track. Give us your NFC East.
You know who's got a lovely face? hey, I'm throwing this one back. Going way back to the 2017 draft. The Macarena was sweeping the nation. And the Dallas Cowboys landed Blake Jarwin. I'm throwing it back with Blake Jarwin, who was definitely a breakout candidate last year. And it didn't happen. He tore his ACL week one. But they invested in him before the start of last year. Gave him a 3-year, $24 million contract. With Dak coming back, the Cowboys' offense should be explosive. They obviously have a loaded a wide receiver. Jarwin definitely feels like he can be in line for that Robert Tonyan type of breakout. And I'm not saying he's a great player or anything, but compared to 2019, where he had 31 catches, 365, 3 touchdowns, I think like he's going to gonna make some noise, like some Tonyan type of noise on a good offense this year for the Cowboys.
He's taking Dalton Schultz's job.
I think so. I think he's more talented. I was a big Dalton Schultz fan. I think he's more talented than Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, you can kind of imagine Jarwin being more of the focus as pass catching wise, and
yeah,
Schultz a better blocking. Blocker.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I think not saying he's going to have that same Tonyan jump, but I like just when you're that fourth method to feed with the other three pass catchers being so talented, you're seeing a lot less coverage.
Jump into the G-men. Kind of a tough team to pick for. I'm going to go Jones. Back. Sorry, Daniel Jones. Yeah, Daniel 2019, Jones. My pick. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go with a guy that I believed in before the draft. Maybe hasn't quite lived up to expectations, or he hasn't lived up to expectations. Will Hernandez, the guard for the Giants. Obviously, the Giants' offensive line has been a mess since he's got in there. Hernandez basically lost his job to Shane Lemieux last year after he tested positive for COVID. But he's more talented than Shane Lemieux. And it's not like the offensive line was good when you threw Lemieux in there. But it's definitely now or never for Will Hernandez. And on paper, you look at this Giants offense. They added in the offseason, obviously, Kenny Golladay. It looks really talented on paper, but it all hangs on Daniel Jones. And Jones's potential somewhat success at the ceiling probably rests on this offensive line holding up. And they need Will Hernandez to step up big. So just throwing back to what I thought of him before the draft and the expectations, and they need him. I think it's got to be Will Hernandez's year to step up there.
I think that's a good one, too, because, again, like, I think after his rookie year, you saw enough and given
yeah.
the thought. Obviously, everyone's kind of biased for a bit of time in how they view a player based on how they viewed them as a prospect. So I think after his rookie year, a lot of people thought you would see a big jump from mm-hmm. him. And then you didn't. And then after the second year, not seeing that happen either, kind of worrisome.
For sure.
Getting just but they seem more theoretically poised to be a more consistent offensive line this year. You would hope.
Hope, yeah.
Because there was a lot of youth on that, especially not having Nate Solder last year. Now at least having one veteran.
They also just shuffled guys around a lot for the sake of shuffling guys around.
Yeah.
You can't like how they handled the offensive line last year, to be completely honest.
No, I mean, everything about it was bad.
Yeah, exactly. So at least we've seen it from Hernandez in some capacity, and you know he's a good football player. You just gotta hope that that whole line kind of comes together. Okay, this is my only guy that is, in quotation marks, made a Pro Bowl, okay? He technically – this was a mystery to me because I didn't know he made the Pro Bowl, and he only technically made the Pro Bowl because – it was only in Madden? I don't understand this. I genuinely don't understand what the fuck the Pro Bowl is anymore because he made it because of Madden. So I'm ignoring it. He didn't make the Pro Bowl. It's Miles Sanders.
He made the Pro Bowl because of Madden?
I don't understand. So I looked at his Wikipedia page because he had 800 yards last year and 3 touchdowns. So I didn't think he... Sorry, 6 touchdowns, sorry. So I'm like, Miles Sanders never made a Pro Bowl. And I saw it. I'm like, what? So I Googled it and it's... It was something like the Madden player vote. I don't fucking know. It was him in the NFC and Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the AFC. why are they credited for the Pro Bowl?
I don't know what to do with this information.
The reason I really wanted to talk about it is because I have no idea what the fuck this means. Anyways, I'm ignoring it. Miles Sanders did have a good year last year. He missed a lot of. He missed like 4 games too. 800 yards. His receiving was down. I think he's going to have 1,000 yards rushing for the first time in his career this year.
My one argument is they bring in Kerryon Johnson. They got production in Boston Scott last year.
Yeah.
You got Jordan Howard in the room. They got a lot of running backs in that room. And then draft Kenny Gainwell. Are you, I think pretty clearly he is the most talented runner of that group and the most explosive playmaker of that group. So are you thinking as long as he's healthy, he owns that true top back role?
I think so. I think if Gainwell is doing anything, it's maybe some third downs. But I don't. None of those guys concern me. I mean, he did have a good Pro Bowl year last year. Rob, you can't forget that. he had like 5.3 yards per carry. The receiving was down. Maybe that receiving jumps back up a bit. Because he had 50 catches as a rookie. They did a good job. But then he only had 28 and almost 200 yards last year. But yeah, no, I definitely think it's his backfield to lead. Especially the offensive line shouldn't be so shit this year too. Like I think he's gonna hit 1,000 yards.
No, that's fair.
And Washington football team, look, if we're just picking guys to become Pro Bowl players for the first time, Washington has an easy choice, and it's Terry McLaurin. He had 1,100 yards last year, 4 touchdowns with garbage quarterback play. I will say, I think Twitter seems to be in love with Fitz too much. I think the expectations are a little too much, but he's definitely an upgrade. And he's going to be way more fun to watch, watching him huck it to McLaurin than whatever the hell last year was. So I think Terry's an easy choice to make the leap. And you could also, honestly, you could have also went with Montez Sweat. He had 9 sacks last year. You can see double digits easy. Washington was one with an easy picks on both sides of the football compared to some teams that had some difficult picks through the whole 53-man roster.
Did you just pick Terry McLaurin to break out?
He never made a Pro Bowl.
Okay, yeah, but I mean...
And I think he's going to have a
Terry
bigger
McLaurin,
year.
Terry McLaurin, everyone... Like, Terry McLaurin's considered a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. I think the...
I was more doing this.
Shocked.
This was a protest.
I mean, you can't just pick a dude who everyone that'd be like me picking Wyatt Teller for Cleveland. Wyatt Teller broke out. Wyatt Teller's an all-pro type player. He just hasn't technically made one.
He had 4 touchdowns. I think he's gonna have a bigger year. I think he's gonna have 1,300, 100 catches. I also said Montez Sweat. I gave you 2 names.
Shouldn't it be viewed as how he is viewed, regardless of? I mean, McCole Hardman's made a Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Pro Bowl's just like
as a specialist,
like
though.
Guideline. You don't think Terry McLaurin's broken out already?
Yeah, sure. But I mean, I'm just saying as why didn't he make a Pro Bowl? Especially when Miles Sanders made a
Madden,
Pro Bowl last year.
Madden didn't vote him in.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why were they both running right, backs, too?
I will contest that, but...
I say Montez Sweat, too. Pick one of the two. Congrats.
He's an anti-vaxxer. Are we sure we want to pick him?
He's what? What'd you say?
He's an anti-vaxxer?
Everyone is. Everyone is. Look at anything on Twitter. Everyone is.
Did you pick Sam Darnold for Carolina?
Of course. He's...
Okay, it's, moving to the AFC, yeah. AFC North, to my baby. Starting in Baltimore. This is almost more of a pick based on the history of Baltimore pass rushers and their maybe slower development that eventually leads to a comp pick down the road. and the pick, this guy almost has to break it because of the lack of depth in Baltimore on the edge. It's Tyus Bowser. That's my pick. They took him 47th overall. Normally, mm-hmm. Baltimore does a great job taking guys outside of the first round and developing them into playmakers. I mean, just look at Za'Darius Smith, look at Matt Judon, guys like that. And Bowser hasn't really happened for. He's been a bit of a tweener. He's now settling into a true starting edge role, basically just because he has to. They drafted away in the first round, but I find it hard to imagine a way playing more than like 60% of the snaps from the jump. Bowser just 10.5 sacks in 4 seasons. Again, has moved around a lot, but even regardless of how my feelings of watching Tyus Bowser, it just screams Baltimore that he'll have a great year.
Yeah.
And then another year. And then, like, I think they signed him to an extension before he. They signed him last offseason to a 4-year extension. Or sorry, this in March, 4 years, $22 million. So to me, that says they see something there.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get him on the cheap in that moment. And so that's kind of it. Just so much makes sense for Baltimore. It makes so much sense for Baltimore for this.
Yeah, you picking him here is like giving him that extension where you haven't seen it yet, but you're banking on it.
Yeah. I'm also from the Ozzie Newsome tree. In Cincinnati, pretty obvious pick to me would be Jonah Williams. Just 10 starts in 2 years. Only been healthy for 10 games in 2 years. Started all of them. 11th pick in the 2019 NFL draft to be that franchise left tackle. Obviously missed his whole rookie year. Got banged up late in year two. Looked solid. Not spectacular, but looked promising. And if you look at it as... that being his rookie year on a bad offensive line, I think you're pretty excited for what's to come from Jonah Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Them not taking Penei Sewell and them taking Ja'Marr Chase really means that he has to be that dude at left tackle. They signed Riley Reiff at right tackle. That's a really solid starter there, especially for a team like Cincinnati. I think this year Jonah Williams reminds people why he was considered one of the top offensive lineman in the 2019 NFL draft and starts to look like that franchise left tackle.
I think that is the definite pick for the Bengals, and like if they could choose anyone to break out, I think he'd be the pick.
Agreed. And hey, this is a bit of a callback. Was it, I think, 2 episodes ago when you were talking about David Njoku? That's my pick for Cleveland.
Ooh, okay.
So, first round pick 2017. 4 years in, just over 1,200 yards, inconsistent role, crowded tight end room. They signed Austin Hooper last offseason to a lucrative deal. They draft Harrison Bryant, who looked pretty good as a rookie. But putting those three, like, gun to my head, you're asking me who I'm taking? I'm banking on still banking on that upside of David Njoku. The freak athlete, I think... if you took his 10 best plays from last season and took Austin Hooper's, you would think Njoku's the guy who's made a Pro Bowl in his career, not Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper's the epitome of an average tight end. Made 2 Pro Bowls, though.
Yeah, but he's paid, baby.
And so I think this is especially if a third wide receiver in that rotation doesn't emerge. Like, we should, in my mind, we should – be seeing more David Njoku moving around, being used as a true Swiss Army knife playmaker.
I know the trade talks haven't been alive this year, but they were last year. Do you see him asking for a trade again?
He said he's content now, so I don't know.
I would. I mean, don't know.
If let's say 3-4 games of the season, like he's still like, yeah, if he's playing behind the other two, then in that circumstance, yes. Because to me, there's a lot of teams in the NFL that wish they had a tight end as talented as David Njoku. Maybe, again, he hasn't put it all together consistently, but his ceiling is so much higher than like multiple starting tight ends in the NFL.
For sure.
Like, is the Seahawks... Well, I guess you guys all have all the tight ends. Maybe that's a bad...
The Seahawks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Would you, if you're the Seahawks, would you trade a 4th-round pick for David Njoku?
Ignoring Everett and hopefully Disley. Yeah, like...
Yeah, but I guess assuming... But yeah, let's pretend you don't have a tight end.
And they didn't spend any capital on Colby Parkins. Yeah, of course I would.
See, in Pittsburgh, we've got a Pro Bowl tight end named Eric Ebron, so...
If the Steelers didn't draft Big Pat, Pennsylvania Pat, I think that would be a good... I guess they wouldn't do it in the division, though.
I would way rather have David Njoku than Eric Ebron.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Eric Ebron's made a Pro Bowl, though, baby.
Pro Bowl tight end, so funny. I got a tight end talk coming, so don't worry. I mean, I already did one, but I got more.
Tight end talk. Okay, finally, Pittsburgh. This is just another really obvious one, similar to the Jonah Williams one, but slightly different. The guy who went ahead of Jonah Williams in the 2019 draft, Devin Bush, pretty impressive rookie year, tore his ACL year two, don't get to see him make that big leap. I think, again, for a rookie, he had a really good rookie year, but I almost felt like the hype entering year two was bigger than some of the play you saw. And this is a really important year to show that he, because he really got picked on in coverage as a rookie. Which, again, I take away some of that blame because it was his first year in the league and he was involved in so many splash plays. But even 5 games into this year, great defense. He wasn't the most impactful guy. Obviously, once you took him off the field, you kind of... And once Robert Spillane got hurt, you really felt the hole without Devin Bush there. But this is a really important year to me for him to show his worth as a 10th overall pick as an off-ball linebacker.
And especially looking like, at what Devin White did last year, too.
I was about to say, especially when you factor in how good Devin White has been. And obviously, Devin White also has his issues at times.
Mm-hmm.
But Devin White is one of the most electric downhill playmaking linebackers in the NFL already. And like even if you jump back... to Roquan Smith as a top 10 pick at linebacker, like Roquan Smith's been incredible for Chicago, and you just really, to justify taking linebackers and tight ends that early, they have to become, like, to me, they have to almost transcend the lack of value in taking them. Like, they have to become all pro players.
So, you know what's funny, I was going to bring this up later when I did the Bears and when I did the Bucs. Neither of those guys have made Pro Bowls, Roquan Smith or Devin White.
Yeah, Roquan Smith should have, though. Like, to me, Roquan Smith's already a top 5 off-ball linebacker.
Yeah, he was second. Both of them were second-team All-Pro last year. But, like, they don't make Pro Bowls because they put outside linebackers as edges and just 2 inside linebacker slots. Yeah.
I mean, Lavonte David should be a Hall of Famer, and he's got, like, what, 2 Pro Bowls? Let's see.
Yeah.
He's got one. He's got 3 All-Pros, 1 Pro Bowl.
That's so... Like, the best
softball linebacker outside of, like, Bobby Wagner and Luke Kuechly of this generation.
You know the Pro Bowl's broken when a guy can have 3 All-Pros but 1 Pro Bowl.
And he should have more All-Pros, for the record.
Probably, yeah. Just so hard in the NFC when you had Wagner and,
like,
Kuechly.
I was just going to say, after Kuechly and Bobby Wagner, to me, Lavonte David's, like, clearly the 3rd best.
If you went back,
linebacker of this era, right?
Over the last 10 years, absolutely. Yeah.
And should be considered as a potential Hall of Famer, and I don't think he'll even get close to that. Anyway, no. That's enough Pro Bowl. We've talked a lot of Pro Bowl today. Jumping to the NFC North.
Yeah, speaking of Roquan Smith, obviously he wasn't my pick because he made a All-Pro, and I think that's cheating. But I'm going to his draft mate, right? Yeah, James Daniels. His draft mate from the 2018 class, who is a younger guy, too. It's only 23. He tore his pec last year, week five. That ended his year. But before that, he was playing pretty well. Probably his best year so far, especially after like they bounced him from guard to center the years prior, or from center to – no, from guard to center. Didn't look great at center the year before. Moved him back to guard, looked good. He's turning 24 soon, but he's still young. I think he's primed to break out. And it's another guy, offensive lineman. I think a lot of these offensive linemen we're naming, the teams need them, man. Like, we saw the Bears stick their neck out and cut Charles Leno, which I don't know if I'm on board with.
It was bold.
And obviously we're going to see Justin Fields on the field before too long, and we know how crucial the offensive line is to young quarterback success. I mean, any quarterback success, but any especially young quarterbacks. So they need him to step up, and I think he's shown the goods last year. That he will. I have a lot of guys coming off injuries, actually. Okay.
I was going to say you could almost say him or Cody Whitehair, and then I checked Cody Whitehair made a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, because I remember I've had – I think I might have had Whitehair when we did this last year or the year before, and or maybe 2 years ago, yeah, and then he made one. But I did have him, and I think they're both – I mean, it's funny that Whitehair's made a Pro Bowl, but it almost feels like he hasn't broken out yet, but I guess he has. He's been really good. Detroit.
Way older than he, Cody Whitehair's 28. James
weird.
Is 23.
Yeah, he's turning 24 in like a month or something like that. No, a week or two. I don't know. Whatever.
Detroit. Jared Goff. Tell us why. Tyrell Crosby. Tell us why.
Okay. Okay. Look, if you asked me Alex who I was going to say, it is Alex Anzalone. I swear to God, I picked Alex Anzalone.
Probably.
Yeah, okay, I'll tell you why. First of all, I had to do this for the brand, baby. But
also, will you tell me why? Let me scan the roster and see if there's really any feasible pick.
Yeah, like that's what I'm going to say. Detroit is hard to pick for. Like Ragnow's made the Pro Bowl. Hawkinson, obviously 2019, he's made a Pro Bowl. So their only good players have either done it or were just drafted now. Like Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn left a fucking mess of a roster. But like I was going to say, who can capitalize off this mess? Alex Anzalone, baby. There's not much there at the linebacker. And he's following Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn over from New Orleans. He can get on the field. And this Lions defense is going to be on the field a lot. So I'm calling it now, 100 tackles for Alex Anzalone this year.
I'm just like, okay. Well, first of all, yeah, there's not a lot to pick from.
No.
Because a lot of the guys, like, if you were to try and argue a wide receiver just because of their lack of wide receivers, you're arguing Breshad Perriman.
Yeah.
Or Tyrell Williams.
And, like, Tyrell had Williams a 1,000-yard like season, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Tyrell Williams feels like, not to say he's broken out, but, like, not a fun pick, I guess. I don't know.
No.
And offensive line-wise, like, Jonah Jackson is not eligible by our rules. And obviously Ragnow's made a Pro Bowl. Penei Sewell is ineligible. Like, any of their fun players.
How like, Vitae yeah, I thought said, about. It's like my only other option. Really.
I was going to say him. He's kind of an interesting one if you're like just. He's probably the only guy I would consider on that offense.
Yeah. Yeah, right? For sure. Yeah.
And then, yeah, defensively, I mean, like, what, are you going to bang the table for Deshaun Hand? Like, you know, like it's.
There's not a lot there. There's not a lot.
And to like Romeo Okorah, I mean,
yeah,
I don't think he's made a Pro Bowl, but to me, like he broke out last year, right? Like he got the contract. He broke out last year. Anzalone's a fun pick. I'm trying to, I guess him and we're viewing him and Jamie Collins as the starters there.
I guess so. Like, it's a bit of a disaster. Yeah. Hey, I would have picked if I were you. I would have picked Jelani Tavai.
No, but I'm not good. So sometimes we miss AJ. It's fine.
Yeah, it is fine. What was I going to say? Yeah.
Corn Elder. That's my pick. PFF loved him when he was at the U 7 years ago.
Yeah, I remember. Corn Elder's sick. I guess that's the two. I don't even know. How soon do you think Derek Barnes is getting on the field? I also... Yeah, like, I don't know. It's a mess. That's why Alex Anzalone, 100 tackles. Guaranteed. Lock it in.
Respect.
I think Green Bay's got a pretty easy one here. Rashawn Gary, from 2019. He's only 23. He had a nice year last year. He had 5 sacks. He only played 44% of snaps. He's definitely still coming into his own. I think he's one of the guys you can really expect a big third-year leap from for Gary.
That's like, a good pick.
Going into the draft, we knew he had all the talent. It was just the question if you could put it together. And I think, like, with how we've seen his first 2 years going, he's shown that he's on the path of putting it together and becoming all the talent that we saw. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, he as long – I think, like, especially probably a handful of games in this year, there's a good chance he's playing a lot more than Preston Smith.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Yeah, I think he takes the role from Preston Smith.
Yeah.
And to the Minnesota Vikings, tight end talk, baby, it's got to be Irv Smith. He showed glimpses of being
Tyler Conklin.
Tyler Conklin, baby. He showed glimpses last year. Only 30 catches, 356, 5 touchdowns. He's still only 22, though. He's 23 2 months from today, exactly. And obviously, Zach Rudolph is out of town. It's Irv Smith's time to shine. And honestly, with the lack of solid tight end play that we've hinted at already, outside of the top end guys, the top three guys, would you be absolutely shocked if at the end of this year we're talking about Irv Smith in that top tight end conversation?
No, because there's not enough good tight ends in the NFL right now. Like, I mean, just go and look at it.
Yep.
This is one of my favorite talking points is you go and look at the top 10 tight ends and receiving yards, and you're like, half these guys I wouldn't think are top 10 tight ends, but maybe they are just because there's not a lot of them. After the top three dudes, Kittle, Waller, and Kelsey,
it's wide open, yeah.
Yeah, it's wide open, and there's a lot of guys who I think are going to be vying for those next 7 spots, especially this year, I think Hockenson, Tanyan, and then it's just not clear. There's guys like Irv Smith, there's guys like Noah Fant, there's guys like Dallas Goedert. They're all going to see bigger roles, assumably, and have a chance to put themselves in that conversation. And the other thing, when you look at the Vikings, is obviously the Thielen, Justin Jefferson solidified, but they still don't have that clear third wide receiver. And they didn't really – like they took my guy Amir Smith-Marset in the 5th round, but there's no one – who you just pick out and be like, that's their third receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that means there's going to be an even bigger role for Smith in this offense. And they must feel comfortable with that considering getting rid of Rudolph.
Yeah, no, for sure. And quickly, going back to the Pitts thing, it's almost like he's going to have – if he doesn't come out of the season as a consensus top 10 tight end, it's almost like he had a bad rookie year. You know what I mean? Like that's the expectations.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's got a really good shot to put himself in the top 10 conversation.
I expect him to. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we're at with him as a talent because he's so good. And you got to assume the targets are going to be there that he will do it. Okay, and you know what else people will be doing is they'll be tuning into the locker room after this Bruins and Islanders game tied at 1-1. 18 to go in the second period. I'm not wearing my glasses, so I can't confirm that that's the right number. The Islanders, they got to play tougher. The Bruins, they got to put more shots on the net. That's kind of – this is almost like a mock locker room
experience. A mocker room?
A mocker room. Because locker room is live. It's audio only. It's a sports talk platform. It's free to download and to use. And you get to get in on the action. You get to listen to people getting in the action. Everyone's in on the action. Everyone's getting action at Locker Room. The Locker Room's the best place to get action. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app for any iOS app store, create a profile, and link your Twitter, and you're in. So go on down to the iOS app store. Put some more apps on your phone and get in on the action. AFC South. Houston Texans.
Oh no, okay.
This is a horrible team. It's a gross team. I think you can argue Justin Reed's already broken out, but I had to pick him anyway.
Fuck it. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's, I think, is it Justin Reed's the best player on that team?
Him and Tunzel, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Sorry, should have said defense. But yeah, Justin Reed, I think, is quickly becoming one of the best young, versatile safeties in the league. Has been ultra productive for 3 years. Nice little hit for Rob and AJ. Still just going to be 24 at the beginning of the year. One of the most impactful defenders in the AFC already. He's the best player on this defense. It's a horrible team. Hopefully he gets more attention in a positive way this year.
Yeah.
It's well-deserved at this point.
It is well-deserved. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I thought you were going to pick your guy. Well, I think we both liked him, but he's definitely more your guy. Charles Omenihu.
I considered him, but then I was like, my kind of the way I looked at it was, I think he's going to play a lot more, but is he really going to break out given what's around him?
Yeah, no, it's gonna be that's fair.
Offensive lines are going to be focused on Charles Omenihu.
He's going to be getting double-teamed every snap. I was listening to the radio the other night. They're talking about some Houston reporter signed up for, like, season tickets, and they were, like, 12,500 in line or something, and they just signed up, and they're, like, they got the call. Like, no one wants to buy Houston Texans season tickets, and I don't blame anyone. That's
maybe
bad.
We should.
I was going to say, for the bit, we should sign up and see if we get a call.
I want you to know that Tywan Taylor's wearing number 37 for some reason for the Texans.
That's strange. Anyways, no more Texans talk ever again.
Okay, now, yeah, you'll like this. For the Colts, Bobby Okereke.
Yeah, Bobby.
That's two Stanford guys in a row, by the way.
Sick. Are you going to keep the trend up?
They've played Bobby Okereke, like, as a partial starter the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He started 16 games in 2 seasons. Anthony Walker's out of town. It's finally Okereke's job to lose. Sticking him next to Darius Leonard. So long, rangy, and athletic. And behind a defensive line that's consistently keeping Darius Leonard clean, I think Bobby Okereke's got a really good chance to rack up a ton of tackles and be a big-time playmaker on one of the best defenses in the league. And, they invested in it again by taking Deo and Quiddy Pay with their first two picks. So I'm pretty excited to see how much playing time Bobby Okereke gets. And he feels like a fun fit beside Darius Leonard.
Definitely, yeah. No, I think that's a good pick. And I think he's definitely the second best linebacker on that roster, easily.
Oh, yeah. After Jordan Glasgow, yeah, for sure.
after Glasgow, baby. What Stanford man are you going to pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Do they even have a Stanford on the roster?
They drafted Walker Little. I know he's not eligible.
Oh, yeah.
Here to bang the table for Walker.
I love it. Who would you pick for the Jags?
Well, okay, so this is one where I cheated. Okay. I put DJ Chark because now this is how I win you back because you love DJ Chark.
I do. Yeah.
Sure, he made a Pro Bowl. He had 1,000 yards, not last year, the year before. I still feel like he's not considered a guy who's arrived. The production dropped off last year, no fault of his own. And I think this is a chance for him to actually confirm he can be a consistent 1,000-yard receiver. Now he's got Trevor Lawrence. He's going to be the big play deep threat. We're hearing great things coming out of camp about Laviska Shenault, who's more of that yak, Swiss Army knife. And then Marvin Jones is just Mr. Consistent.
Yeah.
I think it's Chark's going to become, like, you know, last year when Justin Herbert started hitting all those crazy bombs and it was a lot of the time to terrible wide receivers?
Jalen Guyton, baby.
I think same thing in Jacksonville, but it's going to be a great receiver in DJ Chark. And he's going to be a really perfect fit for what Trevor Lawrence does with the deep ball.
So, yeah, I totally thought this when I knew the Jags were getting the first overall pick. I'm like, yeah, this is great for DJ Chark. And then Urban Meyer comes in. I'm like, okay, this is great for Laviska Shenault. All aboard both of them. You shouldn't have brought this up because, you know, I'm fired up about this right now because Urban Meyer basically said DJ Chark sucks. DJ Chark is slow and thin. And he told him to add weight. So he's up to 210 now, which, I mean, I love DJ Chark. He seems like an awesome dude, you know, talking about all the mental health stuff too. I think Chark is the best receiver on this team. It seems like everyone's down on him.
That's what I mean. That's why the break is coming.
No, I like it. He's going to It's going to be the shut the fuck up, Urban, shut the fuck up, everyone else year. LaVisca, you're sick, but I'm still sicker. Yeah, that's what I think.
Love it. Thank you. Okay, and to keep my trend on picking defensive tackles from the 2019 NFL draft, for the Titans, I picked Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was injured as coming into that rookie year, came on really strong when he did get on the field late. I think a lot of people expected a big breakout last year. Good football player, but didn't really have that. And that defense wasn't very good. And now, it is time. It is time for him to become that consistent. Oh, my Islanders just scored. I'm so sorry. to become that consistent game wrecker. And if like they got rid of what's his name, AJ
Casey last year.
Yeah, Jarrell Casey last year, and everyone kind of expected Simmons to really step it up.
Yeah.
And he played really well, but he didn't become that all-pro Pro Bowl dude. They bring in Danico Autry. They bring in Bud Dupree. It's time to see this defense, especially Mike Vrabel's never really coached a good defense, just so everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for Jeffrey Simmons to be kind of that cornerstone of the front seven in Tennessee.
They need guys to step up on that defense. Obviously, this offense has got people. You know what? I just wanted to bring this up. It's a little off topic. But if you look at Twitter, I think the Titans are underrated. And if you look at big media, the Titans are super overrated after the Julio trade. It's kind of like this funny split dichotomy where I think realistically they're somewhere in between where, you know, they're a 10-11 win team probably. They're just consistent. It's them and the Colts for the division, obviously. Like, I don't know. But they definitely need guys like Jeffrey Simmons to step up on this defense.
Well, yeah, they've invested, and obviously they just invested in that secondary.
Yeah,
they've invested in the front seven between taking Simmons in the first round, and they take Autry, or they sign Autry free agency. They sign Bud. They've got Harold Landry. They got Rashawn Evans.
Yep.
They've got guys who capital has been spent on. It's time for it to become something.
Definitely, no, for sure.
To the NFC South, AJ.
The Atlanta Falcons. I mean, look. Mike Davis is going to have the best year of his career, right? Right? Well, he's probably going to have 1,000 yards.
Honestly, yeah. But he's your actual pick? I don't know if you're doing a bit.
It's not a bit. I believe that, but he's not my choice.
okay, because like, I believe that that's an okay choice.
Yeah, no, it's a good choice. Yeah. My choice is one of the men paving the way for him, Chris Lindstrom from 2019 draft. He had a really, really, really nice start to the year last year. And, you know, the Falcons offensive line never looking that great. But he looked really good. It's kind of been the story of his career. I mean, after missing his rookie year. And with Arthur Smith coming in, he seems like that perfect fit up front to, like, do some row grading for Mike Davis, do some lock-it-down pass, bro. Just like a steady dude. And I don't know if the spotlight's going to be super on him, but he deserves it. Yeah, I think he's going to have a great year, a really great year. Carolina.
Great pick.
I'm going to ask you, Brian Burns, has he broken out yet?
To me, yes.
Okay, he's my pick. I don't care.
It's similar to Quinnen Williams, I think, though, in terms
true.
Of...
True, yeah.
You know, like, I think he is there, but maybe not in, like, to the national media.
Okay, yeah. So this was my caveat. Like, he had 9 sacks last year. I'm going to say Brian Burns has a Pro Bowl caliber year. I mean, I don't know if he's going to make the Pro Bowl because it's the Pro Bowl. But he's going to have a Pro Bowl caliber year. I think he's going to obviously get into those double digits of sacks easily. He's awesome, man. I think this Panthers defense is going to be one of the most fun to watch in the league this year overall. Because, I mean, Jeremy Chin was probably my favorite defensive rookie to watch last year. I like these Panthers. He's still only 23, too. I think this is the year where Burns really makes a leap. Not saying he hasn't had a really good start to his career. I think he really makes this leap. We'll see him in that 13 to 15 sack kind of range and maybe a Pro Bowl nod.
Yeah, no, I think him and Quinnen Williams, like, he's the NFC
almost
version of it, in where the leap is going to be big this year.
Yeah.
They're going to be considered two of the best at what they do.
I like that. I agree. One of the best of what he does, Eric McCoy, he hasn't made a Pro Bowl for the Saints, but I think that's going to change soon. So I didn't pick him. I thought it was a little too on the nose. So where'd I go? I went to the
accepted it.
Yeah, I know. I shifted. I figure you're going to get pissed at me for McLaurin, so I had to do better later. So who am I going to go to? One of our guys, CD Deuce, baby, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who got into more fights last year than he has career interceptions. But that makes him even fucking sicker, in my opinion. He's clearly a Pro Bowl shit talker. He had a really good rookie year. I think I wouldn't even say a bit of a slip last year. I'm not going to say that. Just didn't really elevate himself too much. But I think he's really going to come into his own this year. I think that the role is going to expand in that Saints secondary for him. And I think it's going to be. I mean, he's a semi household name because he's got a fun name and a nickname at least, and he got into a bunch of fights, but I think he's going to be a bigger name because of what he does between the whistles, or before the whistle, not after the whistle. And lastly, the Tampa Bay Bucks, the defending Super Bowl champs. Again, Devin White didn't make a Pro Bowl, but I'm not choosing him because it doesn't count. So I'm going with one of our guys, Alex Kappa. I think it's his year to break out. Like he had his best year last year, for sure. But obviously got overshadowed on the offensive line, and like, understandably so. And then he broke his ankle in the wild card game, but he's already back. He's practicing fully in OTAs, and like on a team that's running it back pretty much, it was harder to find a guy. But they're also gonna have to find new guys to talk about. You know, come Good Morning Football, or the fuck, right? So why not Alex Kappa, who is. Showed that he's got the talent on the field and he's making the leap, and I think he's gonna kind of elevate himself and really solidify that. I mean, the offensive line is obviously already really really good, but just really solidify himself.
Yeah, I mean, again, we love Alex Kappa. He played well last year in his first year, really as a true starter. And to get overshadowed because three of those other guys on that offensive line are awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
I also love that the interior of that offensive line is all like weirdo school dudes. Like,
it's very fun.
Obviously
Hobart, baby.
Ali Marpet, the king of Hobart, and Ryan Jensen, Colorado State University at Pueblo. Tell me where that is.
It's in Pueblo.
I don't know. And Alex Kappa, Humboldt State, obviously, but. And then the tackles are both Big Ten dudes.
Yeah, I know. It's great. It's a
perfect
very...
way to build an offensive line.
It's the perfect way. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Speaking of offensive line, moving to the AFC West now, the Denver Broncos. I picked Dalton Reisner. Was one of the best rookies in 2 years ago. The offensive line had its issues last year, but you saw Garrett Bowles take a major leap thanks to the coaching of Mike Munchak. I think that leap comes to Dalton Reisner now, and he actually does become a true Pro Bowl guard, assuming he isn't forced to kick the tackle, which he also played at Kansas State.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the massive leap that Wyatt Teller took last year comes to Reisner, but that's kind of what the mindset I'm in with him. In terms of just killing dudes as a power run blocker, just eating fellas alive. That's the Dalton Reisner way. And you mentioned Chris Lindstrom earlier, and one of my favorite Senior Bowl moments all time was Reisner and Lindstrom playing together on the right side of the offensive line in practice and just killing dudes and being complete just shit talkers about it. So I'm ready for the Dalton Reisner rise.
Oh, yeah, I think that's the perfect choice for the Broncos.
My other Pro Bowl pick is Mecole Hardman, who made a Pro Bowl as a return man. I think the leap comes as a pass catcher because it has to.
Yeah.
They took Cornell Powell in the sixth round. That was their only receiver they drafted. After Tyreek Hill, obviously Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are the 1-2, but in the wide receiver room, it is super open, and it is open because I think they believe in Mecole Hardman. And they believe he puts it all together. We've seen 500 yards back-to-back years from him. I think we approach 1,000 this year just out of sheer volume, but also because his explosive playmaking downfield ability fits the Mahomes in the Andy Reid way. And, I mean, you let Sammy Watkins go for a reason. I think it's because you believe Mecole Hardman's got it.
I think he's also a good pick because he didn't really take the next step last year either, you know?
No. He almost, I don't want to say regressed, but...
A little bit.
Just
little
stayed
bit.
In the... Yeah, like he wasn't as... Didn't make as many dynamic, splashy plays last year as he did as a rookie even.
No, for sure. And, like, he was one of those guys after his rookie year that had a lot of hype because, you know, he's fast and he's on the Chiefs. I think that's a good pick, both in terms of, you know, just name factor, and he really does have to show up.
And then moving to my Las Vegas Raiders, front of the show, leading sack artist from the 2019 NFL Draft, my pick's Max Crosby. 17 sacks in 2 years, the most in the draft. Brian Burns is behind by a half a sack. Montez Sweat is behind by one full sack. But the pride of the Mac, the pride of Ohio, a Bobcat for life. Max Crosby was freaking awesome as a rookie, especially because I think he came out of nowhere for a lot of people. Just really, Mad Max has nasty hands. He's a twitched up freak. You love the length. And he didn't kind of take a big, like a step from that in year two, but he was their best defensive lineman. He's the best player in the front seven again. They finally kind of put some more talent around him in that front seven. And I think that takes some pressure off him and should allow him to have a double-digit sack season, potentially a Pro Bowl year.
It was almost hard for him to top his rookie year, you know what I mean?
Yeah, especially, again, with what was around him.
Yeah, no, so it's like maybe even not – maybe just even taking a sidestep is taking a step up, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And then my final pick.
Go ahead, yeah.
The LA Chargers. I'm going to let you guess who it is, AJ.
Jerry Tillery.
No. Same
school. I'm not even going to. You got to say his name.
It's Drew Tranquil.
Baby.
Notre Dame King. The pride of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Of course.
The report, K. Obviously. Okay, we both loved him a lot as a prospect, and he looked pretty good as a rookie, in a partial role. The reports prior to the season about him, especially from Daniel Jeremiah, who's the radio color analyst for the Chargers, so he had a lot of eyes on Drew Tranquil, was like, this guy is going to be a Pro Bowler. Like, this guy's incredible. And then and they drafted Kenneth Murray in the first round, and so you thought that that's their starting linebacker pair. And then he obviously got hurt in week one, and you don't see it. So as long as he's healthy, I'm ready to see him become especially the missing piece next to Kenneth Murray, where Kenneth Murray is I don't love Kenneth Murray. I thought he wasn't very good as a rookie, but he's such an explosive downhill dude. Who kind of struggles with his instincts and awareness, where Drew Tranquil can help make up for some of that, because he seemed, at least when he was at Notre Dame, he was always in the right place and always making big splashy plays. And I think getting him next to Kenneth Murray makes Kenneth Murray a better football player.
I definitely agree. But I love Drew Tranquil so much. It definitely did suck that he missed the whole year pretty much last year. Pro Bowl, are you calling it Pro Bowl this year?
For Drew Tranquil, as we know, off-ball linebackers can't make it.
That's a good point. That sucks. But he's going to be the one of the two. It's going to be one of the two. I agree with you. Okay, NFC West. I'm going to keep the trend up of guys coming back from injury, but I'm going to start with a non-2019 guy going back to 2018 for the Arizona Cardinals. This one is for a friend of the show, Kern Trenuth. It's Chase Edmonds. It's got to be his time to snag that RB1 role in Arizona, right? Like, James Conner, I don't think he's got a lot left. But regardless, I think he's more suited for that RB2 role.
Chase Edmonds is, the most talented back on that roster.
Yeah, and he's definitely the most talented. And, like, I mean, he had, like, 53 grabs last year. He caught the ball pretty well, 4.6 yards per carry. He showed glimpses for sure. I think it's his time to shine there in Arizona. I don't know how big of a year he's gonna have, but I think he's definitely the best back on that team. I kind of struggled with the Rams, but I ended up picking Taylor Rapp, who also missed a large chunk of the season last year with knee injury. And then Jordan Fuller kind of stole the show from him. And he was kind of just behind him. But with Johnson gone now, I think both of them are going to see a lot of time. And when he's been healthy and as a rookie, Taylor Rapp played really well. And didn't he have 100 tackles as a rookie, if I remember correctly? So yeah, I think, like yeah, I should have looked at it, but it's okay. So I think Rapp comes back, kind of regains his spot. Fuller kind of more the Johnson role, and I think that's how it's going to be for the old Rams this year. Niners, easy one. Deebo Samuel, who missed majority of 2020. It felt like he was going to be breakout last year, and then obviously the injuries. But with Trey Lance coming in, the ceiling is the roof for Deebo Samuel, right? Like, I feel like in that offense, it's Debo's time to shine. I know Brandon Ayuk is really a good player of his own, and I think he's going to get even better too. But I think Debo's going to take a massive leap and really like cement himself. And I think he would have done it last year if healthy.
Yeah, I was going to say, the expectations – oh, my Islanders scored again. The expectations were huge entering this year two, because – as a rookie, he looked like a dude who did have that Pro Bowl potential, that go-to guy, and then in a perfect fit for Shanny. And then obviously, yeah, he got hurt. So this is a good year to see it happen for him.
Yeah, definitely. And last, and definitely not least, the Seattle Seahawks, another 2019 guy who, I mean, didn't have the national expectations, but had expectations in Seattle, towards ACL in week two. Marquise Blair, before getting hurt, he looked good, both playing nickel and safety. I'm not sure – they haven't talked about him too much, to be honest. I'm not sure exactly what his role is going to be for the Seahawks this year. But I think when it's all said and done, he's back in that nickel role, especially with how thin that corner room is and how much confidence they showed with him going into the season last year and then what he showed on the field. So I think he's going to get on the field a lot. He's a balls to the wall, come downhill, smash guy, and – I think if he can stay healthy, he's going to really show something.
How confident are you in that?
what scale do you want this to be on?
I don't care.
6 out of 10. I'm not super confident.
Did you consider anybody else or no?
Not really. I don't think Seattle really had anyone clear to pick, to be honest.
Well, I mean, Alex the Magoo Man's there, but okay.
I mean, yeah.
Did Nick Ballora already make the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, he's already
so he would have been the pick.
Yeah, or else it would have been. I mean, obviously DK already made the Pro Bowl.
You could have said Will Disley, but I guess
I don't know, because I think Everett's going to be in front of him. Also, I think Disley. Not that he's a lost career, but I don't think he's ever going to be the player that he flashed because of the terrible injuries he's had.
Yeah. But LJ Collier, what about him?
That was my second choice. I think it's Collier's here. I don't know. Like, I really think it's Marquise Blair.
I think you and Jim Nagy think so too, for sure.
Look, Nagy sold me. You remember I wasn't the biggest Blair fan, but he definitely showed it week one and into week two.
Just like my Islanders are showing it right now.